Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We are recording, and how are you now? Brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. It's the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. I'm James Whelan, Managing Director of Barclay Pearce Asset Management, and a reminder that all advice contained is general in nature. Please speak to an advisor about your needs. Don't forget to mark. Well, I am speaking of an advisor about your needs. I'm joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investments. Heath, how are you now?
Very well, mate. And good to see you nailed that advice generals disclaimer there, mate.
All generals are advice in nature. That's right. Just to note, off the top of the mark too, that is a Christmas tree in the background. For people who are joining us on YouTube, that is a Christmas tree in the background. It is official. Christmas is not cancelled. The Christmas rally is on. I have a Christmas tree in the background. I don't know why we needed a Christmas tree in the studio, but here we are. I suppose that's just it. Live coming to you, not live, from Studio 1 of the Barclay Pearce Capital offices in Sydney. I will be speaking at the Ensemble All Advisor PD Day. If you're an advisor, anything to do with financial services, go to Ensemble. You should know what they are. I'm not going to spell it. And check it out the 28th of November. I will be speaking. You will get CPD for hearing me talk about hilarious things that have happened in my career. Wearing a tie and a baseball cap is probably one of them. Now, Heath, because this is now an NRL podcast, I'm sorry, I just sprung it on you. Where's your Christmas tree?
We've got two, but they're out in the other room in the kids' play area room where they demanded that they go. So we've got a heap of other Christmas stuff we're going to finish decorating with. But here in Adelaide, we're officially allowed to put up the Christmas tree when the Christmas pageant's been, and that was early this year. That was the first weekend of November. So it was a couple of weeks ago that we put it up, put them both
up. You South Australians really get ahead of it, don't you? And you know this is an ongoing theme now that I'm trying to get myself up to speed because we've got our clients are NRL. And we've got our partnerships here. We've got Robbie Farrar and Jonathan Thurston are ambassadors to the firm and the asset management, working very closely with them. I'm going to do an NRL card, an unpacking, unboxing. I bought some more cards because I'm trying to learn the intricacies of the players and stuff like that. So here we go.
In the game, it's called You're breaking some wax.
Breaking some wax, yes, okay.
Back in the day, basketball cards and all that used to come in waxed paper with chewing gum, like you said. So breaking some wax.
So I'll give some hints. So this will be a little bit of trivia. So anyone who's listening or watching, and then I'll slowly reveal who the player is. Okay. The Indigenous All-Stars representative joined this team. I will get that later. Joined this team midway through last season, so that was 22, and impressed with his powerful running game and dynamic speed. A top try scoring talent, he scored 28 tries in his first 50 NRL appearances. His first double for the West Tigers came in round 19, clash against the Cowboys. His junior club was the Wellington Cowboys. He plays in the centre or the wing and weighing in at 97 kilos, just a few more than me. We have Brent Naden playing for the Tigers. How fortunate. But you do now, see?
I do now, yes.
That's the thing. And a little bit of trivia in there. And so we'll just do that. So there you go. I hope everyone got that at home. And now we know that's what Brent Naden looks like and that's what he played. And that's another one that's been added and my little brain has more things in it. That way when I meet Brent, I'll be able to ask him about his double header, the double try scoring for the West Tigers, that sort of thing. Yeah. Fantastic. Okay. Market report. You want to just get straight into it, mate?
Yeah. You push the buttons and I'll get the report going.
Yeah, I'll do it. Okay.
Go on. Quickly.
Punch it.
There we go. Beautiful. That's the SPX. Everyone knows what the SPX
sure
is. Been a fantastic week since we last spoke. The SPX up about 2%, NASDAQ around the same. Again, the theme is lower yields. We've had softer US economic macro data. So CPI, PPI, and retail sales were quite soft. Retail were negative for the first time in 7 months. And manufacturing data that came out last night was weaker as well. So things are looking weaker in the US in terms of the economy, which is kind of what we've been saying here for a while, that this was coming. And it will continue to weaken into next year, I believe. Christmas is going to be tough for retailers over there. So that's why yields have come down. I'll bring up the 10-year yield.
Give me they have already seconds. Forecast that. I'm just going to go into that as well, talking about the difference between, and I was sort of talking about my desk assistant, I was sort of running him through a few things on this one, just going the Target earnings, which beat and were fantastic, and how well Target did on that, then contrasted by Walmart. Walmart was because of their outlook on what the consumer is going to be doing, and that was pretty ordinary. That's interesting. Yes. I was just like, okay, so why is this important? 60% of the US economy is consumer. Based on the size of the US economy, it means that 15% of the global economy is the US consumer. That's why these things are important, and that's why it needs to be paid attention to. That's why if Walmart, the biggest retailer, says we think that the outlook is negative, then you need to pay attention to it. That's there endeth the lesson. Please continue.
And Target also reported earnings this week and said very similar. And that's Home Depot missed quite a big miss on their earnings with their report this week as well.
That was at the beginning of the week, wasn't it?
Yeah, shows the health of the construction industry over there, which it looks to be weakening as well. So, but the good thing about the retailers is it looks like they have their inventories in check now. So margins should be able to recover over the next 12 months. So
margins are important. We'll get into that later. Sorry, go on.
Here's the 10-year. You can see that where we peaked at 5% there, coming down to about 4.45 at the moment, looking very weak. The 2 years, not as sharp downturn, but still coming down as well, peak around 5.2 and 4.85. So a few weeks ago, we had everyone in hysteria saying yields are going higher and higher. You know, you hit the 10-year at 5% and people saying they're going another 100 basis points, et cetera, et cetera. That was peak yields, and that was the hysteria. I think we spoke about it a little bit. It felt really peakish. It felt over the top, and things were going to pare back, and that's what's happened. The Fed looked to be done. Yields are coming down. Now, moving forward, obviously, we've had UBS come out during the week saying we expect 275 basis points of cuts next year. Now, that's huge, and something massive would have to break for that to happen, I believe. The market's pricing in about 100 basis points of cuts next year, the 1st in May. So for something, for almost 3% to come off these yields, something would have to break. At this stage, I'm not seeing anything that could break at the moment, but obviously black swans, et cetera, et cetera.
If you could see it,
generally,
you're not supposed to be able to see it.
Before the GFC, we had warnings about the housing industry and problems there. We had delinquencies, et cetera, rising very sharply before the market really picked up on it or was priced in. So maybe we've spoken about this earlier in the year too, commercial real estate.
CRE for sure. We've seen mezzanine.
That's it.
Colgo sent us a thing about mezzanine funding just being switched off or just falling through. It's easy to turn that off. I think that was the idea with that one. It's that we do have warnings with commercial real estate. If it is CRE, I won't even flinch. It'll be like, yeah, okay, we knew that. That won't be a surprise to anyone. Okay, go on.
The good thing,
I mean, I'll CRE, probably flinch, but you know,
there may be a few tears. The good thing with CRE, it's not too systematic. Like most of the loans, et cetera, are held in mezzanine or with regional banks, et cetera, which we saw in March this year. There was a nasty part of the market and the cycle, it really didn't have too much of an impact. The larger banks in the US generally have stayed away from commercial real estate and reduced their exposure and are so well capitalized now since the GFC. And that's what came from the GFC was more measures and more rules and more legislation to make sure these banks were well capitalized and we avoided something like the GFC happening again. So maybe something happens in the smaller end of the market with the regional banks if CRE goes belly up, but I don't expect it to be a GFC style event. I'm expecting a mild recession. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the fact that it is the most important thing is that the Fed has 275 basis points to play with to ease any issue that happens. That's That's the kicker. That's why you had to raise it up like this. And I said that
rates have normalized.
I said that they had to. You got to, because because the next recession, you need an average of 5%. And I know that this is, I'm going to get slammed by this by people who listen to the show. You need, allegedly, you need an average of 5% reduction every time you have a recession. So if you don't have that buffer, well, where are you going to go? So we continue. I mean, even though raising it up to 5% is what's potentially going to cause the recession, we don't talk about that.
That's probably the intention. They won't say it, but it's probably the intention.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So quick look at oil. Oil nasty again last night.
Oof. That's that a noise. Anyone who's listening, that's just, imagine just the ugliest bunch of candles you could possibly imagine. Short upswings and then big red ones.
Yeah, we hit 94 on crude. When's that? Late September. It's now 73, looking like it's going into the 60s. Basically, last night we had an inventory build again. So the last 2 weeks, inventories have built. Let me bring up my notes. Where is my note? 17.5 million barrels.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Over the last 2 weeks. And the IEA, the International Energy Association, also said supply was outpacing demand due to record US and non-OPEC nations production. So whilst OPEC nations are reining in their production, non-OPEC nations like the US, who are producing around 13.2 million barrels a day, are going full kilter, going as much as they can. So that's bringing prices down, along with soft demand.
It could be off another 10%. It could be off another 10% overnight. Sure as God wears sandals at the Cremorne, what is it there? It's not a name. It's a, what are the ones that have the flybys? They're the Coles ones.
Shell, I think. Yeah.
Mate, 95 unleaded will still be $2.30. No way that this price changes. It's the same every Saturday, $2.30. That's the only time I need to buy fuel. I'm the guy who's just getting absolutely slammed on that one.
That's more a refining issue. Refining is
it's a refining issue. I know, but it's like enough, I did hear it on the ComSec report this morning. It's just like, oh, some relief for Aussie motorists. I'm just thinking, did you just put US crude into? I was like, okay, mate, Tom, you're smarter, you're better than that. Anyway, go on.
So that's oil. What are we? We're looking at gold. I want to look at gold. I think gold needs to be on your radar now. Going to an environment, lower yields, lower US dollar, perfect for gold. Also, possible US recession, so safe haven gold status. Yep. So it has bounced nicely here. Looking to nudge 2,000 an ounce again.
Give me some names, mate. Give me some names. I do want to now talk about single stocks. It's my new job, sort of for people that work for me. That's a new job. That. And I've asked my desk assistant, it's just like, mate, gold's probably going to keep on going. You've potentially got a little bit of a risk-off scenario. You've got yields coming down. It's all the perfect stuff for gold. I want to see some small names on my desk at some stage today. What have you got?
So I've got small names, but now we lost Newcrest off the ASX because of the Newmont takeover. But Newmont have listed on the ASX as well as a CDI. So that will give you exposure to the largest gold producer in the world. I like Evolution Mining here as well.
EVN, I think it is, isn't it? Evolution?
EVN, yes. EVN is the code. I'm just looking through my thing. Oh, Northern Star, NST is another one. They're probably the larger end of town.
Yeah, that's a little bit big, but yeah, it's good.
If you're looking smaller, I like GOR. I think that's what's the name of GOR again? I'm bringing up Gold Road. Here we go. Gold Road Resources.
Gold Road.
Yep. I like their
name. I've not heard in a long, long time.
Yep. They're about $1.80, $1.90 at the moment. If you want to really go speculative, you've got BGL, which is Bellevue Gold, which where are they?
I remember Bellevue listed. I was at that lunch. I think that was a Jane Morgan lunch, that one. Bellevue. So, who's behind Bellevue again?
Tolga.
It was a Tolga one. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. He was in it like 2 or 3 cents.
That was that time when Tolga, everything that Tolga touched turned to absolute gold, and it was just like everyone had to be a part of a Tolga stock. That was some crazy days back then. Sorry, mate, carry on.
So we've got that. They're probably my top ones, but keep gold on your radar. Obviously, the ETF, Global X ETF, GOLD, is a good one for unhedged currency gold exposure, and QAU is the BetaShares version, but it's hedged. I'd probably lean towards the QAU simply because I think the Australian dollar could rally from here, especially if China.
If you want to support an ETF provider who is a direct competitor, then you go ahead and you do that, pal.
So I'm talking my clients and what I would be doing with my clients.
Global X are actually in my building. I'm really good friends with the crew there, so that's just
they're very good.
I've picked a side and I'm going to stick with it. I hedged or unhedged. I don't think it can influence my decision on that one though. Sorry.
No. So what else have we got going here? That's pretty much it. We got weaker US dollar, US macro data. Oil's looking crap at the moment. US recession incoming. I forgot to say, sorry. CRE foreclosures of high risk commercial properties is at an all time high now. So they're starting to roll over. The mezzanine stuff is starting to roll over. So that's obviously the really high risk stuff. So that will flow on to other levels eventually. So that maybe that black swan, or not maybe so much black swan, but whatever breaks next year
That is the whitest swan you could possibly imagine. All right, we're going to flick over to my stuff now because I'm more important.
Go for it.
What have I seen, my child? Let me see here. Well, we got Michael Burrito has closed his $1.6 billion notional bet against the market with a massive loss. Good on you, Michael.
40%.
mate, truth be told, it's actually now where the market is. I mean, November and December usually put on a few percent on average. That was done in the first week. If you want to ease up a little bit, just go nuts. What else am I seeing through here? Ah, yes. So remember that really, really bullish Tuesday that we had, that crazy, was it Tuesday night, our time, whatever it was?
Yeah.
That was 97% of the stocks in the S&P 600. This is from Ryan Dietrich I've got up. 97% of the stocks in the 600, the small caps, closed green yesterday. That was the best day in 12 years. You rarely see days like that in a bear market, according to Ryan. I'm looking at total weekly US fixed income flows, which is quite high, a lot of money going into that. You had the 2 year up before. Imagine knowing that you'd locked in a buttload of money. I could say buttload, I just had to censor myself there. A buttload of money at 5% for 5% per annum for 2 years. Like
no risk.
Phenomenal. Easy phenomenal money. That you could do that. Mm. Easy money. Lock it in. And finally I've got here luxury watch prices have hit fresh 2 year lows. We really won't see this is the average price of a luxury watch. It was up as high in, where is that, March 2022. They're up as high as $60,000, and now they're down to about $35,000-ish for a special high-end luxury watch. And those are sort of the tweets, the things that I was watching on that one. That was from last week. Credit Fix, a new tool for measuring and managing credit risk. No, I don't want to have a bar of it. There you go. Those are the things that I'm watching now. I said the luxury watch price is hitting a low, which means, it might be time to start cutting some rates, mate. Get people back into the industry.
Exactly.
Anyway, footy.
Footy tips. What do we got? You want to go first?
Yes. Now, Dank, we went up against each other last week, and Dank Trader to 4,000, 3,000. Dank, you know Dank. Dank Trader 4,000. Yep. He, you and I went up against each other. We just got pipped, and I'm sticking with the Dank. I'm sticking with my boy because he's got some really good research, and people who work hard get respected in my business. So Dank Traders locks of the week. He likes, he's keeping it simple. He likes Seattle at the LA Rams to beat the line, -1.5. He likes the Vikings at Denver with the line, 2.5. And he likes Chicago at Detroit with the line of 8.5. I'm going to ignore him on the last one. I'm allocating two of his stocks here. I think the Bears are awful. I think you, me, and a couple of mates could probably beat the Chicago Bears here. And I think that Detroit are phenomenally good. So, look, I'm going to go Seattle -1.5. I'm going to go Minnesota +2.5. You know what? Multi all up together. Bet with your head, not over it. This is not a gambling. This is not a gamble, unless you consider equities gambling, which many people do. Sorry, who have you got?
I've got my 49ers are back on the winners list last week, crushed Jags on their home turf. 34-3. So I am going with the 49ers at home to Tampa Bay at the line of 12.5. I think they'll cover that easily given how well the defense is playing. So
49ers at home. Just over two touchdowns.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to going to the Super Bowl next year. Apparently that's been done. Deals have been done. Oh, I do not have anything to do with that decision. I hope. I don't think the Saints will be playing, though. So that's that. Okay, now to close off the podcast, I'm going to do another unboxing. Oh, hang on. That's a good one. Okay, here we go. Okay, I'll make it an easy one. Here we go. A creative and tough dummy half who combines electric speed with rock-solid defense. He achieved a career high for tries last season and surpassed 1,600 total running meters for the fifth straight year. The Kangaroos and New South Wales Blues star twice surpassed 60 tackles in a match during the regular season. His junior club was the Helensburgh Tigers. His debut was round 6, 2013. He plays at hooker for the Rabbitohs. He is, come on, Heath.
I've no idea.
Damien Cook. Thank you very much, everyone.
I now know him.
Now you know, right? He plays hooker for the Rabbitohs. It's just one by one. You just get these little things absorbed. Mate, last bids. You got anything to add?
No, I'm all done. All done.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you've got any questions or comments, please send us a note. I don't know where you're going to send it to. Just pick up the phone and call me. My number's plastered everywhere. And that's about it. Heath, have yourself a great weekend. Stay safe. And I'll talk to you soon.
See you later, everyone. Bye.